Please remain standing and pray with me. Almighty God, we ask that by your Spirit you would make alive and meaningful for us today the apocalypse of your Son, Jesus Christ, this revelation of him to your church, which is intended to cultivate within us an intense loyalty and desire to stand for you. And so I pray this morning that you would do that work in our hearts today through your word preached and through the sacrament of your grace that we receive. And so we commend ourselves fully to your love and care. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Well, we're back in Revelation again this morning. I was mentioning to some people earlier that we definitely need to do a teaching on the book because the lectionary just kind of is boop, boop, boop at these high points along the way, and there's so much ground that we're not covering, and there's so much odd stuff that needs to be explained, or at least attempted to explain to make sense of it fully. So bear with us this morning without having all the necessary context that would make this book really come alive for us. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 17, this occurs before our lesson this morning, we hear this question that's posed at the end. Who can stand? Who can stand? The question is posed in great distress by those who have rejected God and his Lamb as they seek to hide from the scrutinizing gaze of the Father and from the wrath of the Lamb. Who can stand? This becomes the overriding question for the sixth seal as it is opened, that the Lamb opens on that scroll that only he is worthy to receive. Who can stand? Immediately after John hears this question, he sees four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, and they are holding back the four winds, holding back the just wrath of the Lamb that stands ready to blow and to be poured out upon the earth. And then John sees another angel rising in the east from the rising of the sun, and this angel has the seal of God, the seal of God. And he called out with a loud voice. He calls out with a loud voice, and this is what John heard this angel with the seal of God say. He says, "Do not harm the earth." He's speaking to those four angels, or the sea, or the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And then John hears the number. He hears, pay attention, he hears the number of these servants, that it is 144,000 people from the tribes of Israel, a symbolic number for all of God's people, all the servants of God throughout all ages. Because in verse 9, what does he see? He sees a great multitude that no one could number, from every tribe, every nation, every people, every language. And what are they doing? They're standing. Who can stand before the gaze of God? Who can stand before the righteous lion lamb? Well, these people are standing there before them. They're standing before the throne where the Father sits and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And they are crying out with a loud voice as they sing, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And so again, we have to ask ourselves, who can stand? And this question is not one the Bible hasn't asked before. We hear it in the Psalms, particularly Psalm 15 and Psalm 24, these what are known as gate liturgies. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord and present himself before him? Who is worthy of this? Who can stand? In our lesson from Revelation chapter 7, we see two identifying marks of those who can stand before the throne of God, who can stand before the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne. They belong to the Lamb. These are the people. These are those marks. They belong to the Lamb Shepherd. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, after all. I love this reading for this Sunday. They belong to the Lamb Shepherd. And two, this is the second identifying mark, they are led by the Lamb Shepherd. They belong to him, and they are led by him. First, those who can stand are those who belong to the Lamb Shepherd. This belonging is identified in our lesson by sealing and clothing. by sealing and clothing. This sealing and this clothing and white garments refers to holy baptism. All of us who by faith and repentance receive the baptism of our Lord are united to him. We belong to him. We are united to the risen and ascended Lamb who was slain, who is worthy. What is true of him is true of us. His death becomes our death. His resurrection life becomes our life. His righteousness, those white robes, they become our righteousness. We are clothed in them. He is worthy. Now we are worthy. We are clothed with the garments of Christ, garments that have been, as we hear later, washed in his blood. We hear that in verse 9 and verse 14, a great multitude that no one can number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Verse 14, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You might ask, well, how in the world can a robe be made white when washed in blood? The purpose is goes back to the Levitical system. The blood is a purifying agent, a cleansing agent. You have been made clean, pure as the white driven snow. You are made clean in the blood of the Lamb. So we're clothed in these white garments. The people are able to stand before the throne. And they are also sealed by the Holy Spirit. The name of the triune God is forever etched in oil on their foreheads. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, we hear this. Then I looked, and behold, on the Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and stood with him the 144,000, this innumerable number from every tribe, language, people, and nation, who had his name, the name of the Lamb, and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. The baptized are sealed by God and branded with his triune name. At holy baptism, when the priest marks the baptized with the sign of the cross in the oil of chrism, he says, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked out as Christ's own forever. You belong to the Lamb. Who can stand before the throne of God? Who can stand before the Lamb? Those who belong to him. Only those who are Christ's own forever, only those who belong to the good Lamb Shepherd can stand. Only those who are lambs of his flock. This beautiful biblical truth is communicated in the prayer for commendation in our funeral liturgy. When it's prayed by the priest on behalf of all those gathered, and this is that prayer, into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend this your servant. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. Who can stand before the presence of a holy God and before the Lamb who is worthy? Only those who belong to the Lamb. Every other person who doesn't belong to the Lamb, we see in chapter 6, is running away from the scrutinizing gaze of God and from the coming wrath of the Lamb, and they cry out to the mountains, fall on us. Not us. Not you. Not me. We stand confident of who owns us. And if we belong to him, then we can stand firm for him before other men and other women and bear witness to him, sharing his gospel of grace and mercy with them now. The confidence of our place, our position, our standing is not something that's merely just a future reality. It is one in which we can partake now. Inviting others to come to faith and repentance, to receive Jesus, to become a part of this company, to come around this table. You see, In chapter 6, Jesus is opening up these seals. And we see in the fifth seal that the saints, the martyrs under the altar of God are becoming or beginning to get excited. Maybe now God will finally act in world history and vindicate his people, bringing wrath and judgment on all those who have opposed God and who have oppressed his people. Maybe finally God is doing this and they're told, wait a little longer. That suspended vindication we see in Jesus' parable in Luke 14 of the banquet, where there's the suspended enjoyment of the banquet. Why? So that more people might be invited and enter. So that 144,000 will be sealed, this innumerable number from every people all across the world, so that they might come and be the people of the Lamb as well. You see, if we know with confidence that we'll stand before the throne of God Almighty and before the Lamb, then we can risk standing for him now. Whether that stand cost us a relationship, God forbid, or status, or a job, or our very lives. Second, those who can stand are those who are led by the Lamb Shepherd. If we belong to this Lamb Shepherd, Jesus Christ, if we've been sealed and clothed in his white garments, then we will follow his lead. We are his people, his sheep. We know his voice. Our lives will be guided by him. Look at chapter 7 and verse 17. We hear this, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water." Fulfillment of Psalm 23. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." We get a glimpse of the end that we see at the end of this apocalypse, this revelation. Here, we see that this people, led by the Lamb Shepherd, will be led to springs of living water, and they will receive the comfort of God who wipes away every tear. But this is a people who is led. The presence of God and the presence of the Lamb are not for us some distant reality that we'll only experience when we die or when Christ returns in glory. No, Jesus, the Lamb Shepherd, is with us now, guiding us by his Spirit that we receive in baptism to the springs of living water, leading us through the dark and deathly valley of this old world to the house of the Lord, where we will dwell with our God forever. So Jesus does not call us to stand for him. Jesus does not call us to stand for him now only under our own power or our own wisdom or by our own fortitude. No, he calls us to stand for him now by the very guidance, strength, and wisdom that only he provides by his Spirit. He is with us as our good shepherd. And I know that's a powerful image for so many in our congregation. By his Spirit, he leads and guides us so that we may conquer as he has conquered, so that we may stand with him before the throne of our Father in heaven. And when we stand for Christ now, we are assured that he will stand with us and for us before the throne of his Father. What does our Lord Jesus say in the Gospel of Matthew? Chapter 10, beginning verse 26. "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed." Is this not what's happening in these seals opening? "Or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered by him. Fear not, therefore, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. You see, our confession of Christ before others is a testimony to us that we are His, and that He guides us, and that He will confess us before the Father. It's an assurance. If we're willing to confess Jesus before others, He is willing to confess us before the Father. If we are willing to stand for Him, He's willing to stand for us as our advocate and say, Father, receive her as you have received me. Father, receive him as you have received me. To the church of Sardis, Christ promises the following in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out from the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I will confess his name. Who can stand? Only those who belong to Jesus and are led by him to conquer with his gospel. Loca was 27 years old when he was martyred. A husband and father, he had traveled to Libya to support his family, to find work. His posters and photographs adorn the walls of his father's house. Pride is evident in his father, Nagati's face. He walks through the village with his head held high, not because his son died, but because Loca had not wavered. He had not hidden his face. He had not hidden his faith. He had not denied Christ. He had not fled. He stood firm, embracing his faith even in the face of torture and death. Yes, I saw the video, Loca's father admits. I didn't want to, but I needed to see it. I had to know if he stayed strong until the end. I prayed constantly, asking the Lord to give him strength. I heard him, Nagati, his father continues. I heard his voice calling on the name of Jesus just before the beheading. That was his voice. I recognized him and I was relieved. He was faithful. Jesus was with him all the way, and now he is with Jesus. What more could a father ask for? Who can stand? The father, this young martyr, expresses well the answer to this question that we discover in our lesson from Revelation chapter 7. He was faithful, referring to his son. We could add a word here, because Jesus was with him all the way. And now he is with Jesus. Who can stand? Those who are faithful because Jesus is with them, because he owns them, because he guides them. He will be with them all the way, and they will stand before the Father with him. Loca's faithfulness did not come from his own will, power, and wisdom, and neither did the faithfulness of the other 20 martyrs. The young men who were beheaded with him just 10 years ago on a beach in Liberia or in the Libyan beach. No, their faithfulness came from the presence of Jesus, who owned them, who claimed them as his own. He was their good shepherd, the great lamb shepherd who was with them all the way. And now Loca stands before the throne and before the Lamb, and along with all the saints and with all the martyrs throughout time and place, and he sings the songs of salvation and praise to our God and to our Lamb. Will you? Will you stand? Will I stand? Will you conquer in the way of Jesus? That's the call of the book. That's the call of the apocalypse, the revelation. That's the blessings, the promises are given to those who conquer. Will you conquer? Will you stand for him now and receive the assurance that you will stand for him for all eternity? You see, our Lord has called us to conquer and to stand with him and for him. He calls us to make ourselves ready, to prepare ourselves and our families and our children to stand as locusts stood, knowing to whom we belong and knowing who leads us now with his guiding presence. I want you to make the last verse of the song we're ending every service during Eastertide a prayer. Allow me to pray it for us. We'll send it out in the parish notes this week. May this be our prayer as we engage with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Would to God that I might, even as the martyred saints of old, with the helping hand of heaven, steadfast stand in battle bold. O my God, I pray thee, in the combat stay me. Grant that I may be ever loyal, staunch, and true to thee. Amen.